Jacob was on the run. Yes, again, a scheming, dishonest, sneaky Jacob who has cheated his brother out of the family blessing this time. And his brother Esau is out to kill him. So Jacob's on the run. This isn't just on the run like, oh, I've done a bad thing and I got to get out of town. It's, I've done a bad thing and I have to run because my brother is trying to kill me. Otherwise, I won't be alive. Yeah, Jacob's ways, they continue to bother me. But you know what? This week's reading isn't about Jacob's mistakes. You notice they're not highlighted in there? It's about how God is present in the best of times and in the worst of times. And God is present with us when we do the right thing. God is present with us when we fail miserably. So, here, just to wrap something around that, if you're running, God is with you. If you're standing still, God is with you. If you're celebrating, God is with you. If you failed, God is with you. If you're doing wrong, God is with you. And that last one there, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that. Because I get as mad at the bully as anyone else. I get fired up when someone picks on another person. It makes my blood boil when people in the power club exploit, abuse, neglect, or shove aside the most vulnerable. And I don't want to say God is with the ones who are doing that abuse, that neglect, that exploitation. I'm the one who wants to, but too often doesn't stand up to the bully. I'm a person who yells at the TV, and I don't yell at the TV during sporting events. Raise your hand if you yell at the TV during sports. Like, are you kidding? Or, what are you talking about? You know, I get together with friends. My father-in-law did this all the time. He would yell at the TV. I yell at the TV, but I yell while I'm watching news commentators. The ones who, this is my opinion, and, you know, you look at me like, oh, he's one of them. Whatever side you're thinking, I'm on the other side or whatever that is. But I yell at news commentators that tell what I can only describe as lies motivated by a political agenda. There, I've said it. Yeah. I just stepped in it, didn't I? No, but that's when I yell at the screen. And my wife gets mad. She goes, would you turn that off? They're just yelling. I say, yeah, that's me. I say, are you kidding? There's no way that that's right. You know, I don't say it about sporting events. I guess I don't care enough about sports. And it ticks me off that Jacob, who did turn out to be a really good guy in the end, he gets this God is with you treatment right after he's stolen from his brother and run away so he doesn't get killed. That's when this happens. All right, most of y'all have known me for some time, and most everyone sees the pastoral side of me. Or they see at least the kind side of me. If it's not pastoral, it's just, you know, that's me. I'm kind, fun-loving, energetic. Most people say I'm fun to be around, right? Folks who know me outside of being a pastor probably tell you that I'm all of those things. Sometimes they say he's very pastoral. Other times they say, well, I don't know if he's pastoral, but he's fun, you know, whatever that is. But some of y'all and some, especially in my family, have seen the non-pastoral side. I got three kids, and they have all seen the non-pastoral side. I act the least kind, helpful, fun, and pastoral. Now, I know that every parent can have their buttons pushed by their kids, but I'm not even going to talk about that part, because every parent has had a time where their kids push their buttons, right, and they yell. Any parents ever not yell? Come on. Kid, get yelled at by your parents? Push your parents' buttons? Yeah. Well, That's not exactly where I'm going with this. Even my kids would tell you, for the most part, I'm pretty easygoing, and sometimes I get mad. But I act the least pastoral, the least kind, when I encounter manipulation, exploitation, or people trying to dominate the other, this power struggle. See, I know that there's poverty in the world. I know that there are rich people in the world. I get that. We all should get that. There are people who don't have enough, and there are people that have too much. I know that some are weak. I know that some are stronger. But when I see ones with more picking on, rallying against, even stealing from the ones with less or nothing, the unpastoral side of me shows up. And some people would say, but that's the pastoral side because you're standing up, you're showing up. But I don't always act like I should. I don't always say what I should in those situations. Instead of acting with a kind response, words that you don't say in polite company or directed at people, or the things that you yell in the sports arenas when you're really angry. Yeah, that's me and the ones who seem to be pushing this power agenda. I got one sister, and she's very kind. I've got one brother-in-law on one side, and then two more brothers-in-law and one more sister-in-law. I think I got more than that because they're married. I can't count how many. They're all great. They're all wonderful people. One brother and two sister? Do you always get along with them?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't always get along with my brothers and sisters or my brothers and sisters-in-law. But most of the time I do. I don't think we've ever had a yelling match, though. I don't even think with my sister, except maybe when I was 14 and she was 16, and that was the last time she tried to push me down in a chair and I was now bigger than she was. Yeah, that's... Yeah. All of this disdain for Jacob. It's got something underneath it, because I get really angry when I see people taking advantage of other people, and especially people that have too much, or at least enough, taking advantage of and exploiting people with not enough. So my trouble with the statement, if you're doing wrong, God is with you, comes from the same place as my upsetness with how Jacob is and how God is like, I am with you to the ends of the earth. And I don't know that God talks that way, but you know, that's how I feel. Like, why in the world would God say that to Jacob? Why wouldn't God say, I know you're on the run, I know you've done wrong, and I still love you? But instead it's like, I will bless you forever. I don't have trouble with people making mistakes and knowing that God is a God of unconditional love and forgiveness. Not at all. But there's a sticking point in me for people who manipulate, who exploit, and have the gall to rail against those with little or nothing. And I believe that God loves everyone. I believe that God's forgiveness is for everyone. I believe that God is with everyone. But the best I can do, at least right now, or maybe for life, I don't know, when I see these things that make me so angry, when I feel like someone is exploiting someone or someone in power is taking advantage, the best that I can do is look at it and go, God love them. And I guess I'm saying God loves them, but that's about the best I can do. But like I said a few minutes ago, and then I ignored, this Bible reading today isn't about Jacob's mistakes. It just gave me an opportunity, and it made my blood boil again, so I had to talk about it. But really, the Bible reading today is about God keeping promises even when we don't. It's about Jacob learning of new possibilities when things are hopeless. Because even though he's done wrong, he's still in this hopeless place. He's like, I don't know what to do now. I've gotten this thing that I want, but how am I going to use it? How am I going to, this is really bad. It's about anyone, any family, any organization, any church that feels like things are hopeless, being open to new possibilities, because that's what happened with Jacob. He was hopeless, and he saw new possibilities. Jacob called the place where God showed him that there were new possibilities Bethel. And Bethel means house of God. That's why it's called that. In the second part of the verse, it says that we go to 19a, and he called the place Bethel. It says it was originally called Luz, or Lutz, which isn't really that important, except that the name was changed, and now it is the house of God, because here Jacob said, this is where I encountered God. This is a place. This is a holy place, a house of God. Bethel can be a place where all the anger comes out, I'm sure Jacob was angry, even though he was scared. Bethel can be a place where failure, mistakes, even manipulation are first and foremost in our mind. We're in the house of God, and I am railing against all of these things that I find distasteful or that anger me. But wouldn't it be better if Bethel was a place where we could always see new possibilities? New possibilities for our lives, new possibilities for our church, just new possibilities. It's no secret that Union Congregational Church has gone through difficult times of late. It's no secret that I'm the part-time pastor of a church that I used to be the full-time pastor of. It's no secret that we have money issues. It's no secret that we have energy issues. It's no secret that we could just sit down and go like, well, forget it. What are we going to do? But this is the house of God too. And here and in our lives, in our church, we can see new possibilities. Between now, right now, and November 11th, 11-11, it's fun to say. And why November 11th? Because November 1st through the 11th is a time of imagining and acting with the whole United Church of Christ. Now, it's called the Mission One campaign, sort of like that they all may be one, and it's November 1st to November 11th, 11-1 to 11-11. So there's 11 days, 11-11, all this 11 stuff going on, and the number one shows up there. I'm just suggesting we get a head start. Let's start in July for the Mission One. Why not? So between now and November 11th, what if we imagine some new possibilities? For instance, we gave $1,111 to our sharing pantry. We could do that. I know it's a lot, but we could. And our sharing pantry, this is Mission 11 is about fighting hunger globally, and our sharing pantry fights hunger locally. That's part of the globe. So $1,111 to our sharing pantry between now and November 11th. Easy to remember. They're all ones in here. We write 111 letters cumulatively from all the people in the congregation to Congress, asking them to reform U.S. foreign assistance in a way that more effectively benefits hungry and poor people throughout the world. Also, another 11-11, we give $1,111 to Foods Resource Bank, which is a project that we have been a part of for several years now, and where our goal usually is $1,000 to give to that as part of this $40,000 to $60,000 effort that helps farmers it helps farmers here because they band together and do something, and it helps sustainable farming over in Africa. $1,111 to the Foods Resource Bank. We invite and receive. Now we can go beyond hunger too, because when you're doing one thing, it's okay to do a bunch of things. We invite and receive 111 visitors to our church. Does today count with all of the people that you brought for the anniversary? Sure, why not? But 111 visitors here at church in the next few months. We can do that. We add 11 new members. We can do that too. We boost our attendance by 11 people every Sunday. If our average is, in the summer it's low, but if our average is around 80, our average becomes closer to 91 over between now and November 11th. How about a real hard one? We increase congregational giving by 11%. Or what if we increased it by 111%? Doug jumped. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. 11%. How about we imagine, we plan, we put into motion 11 new or revitalized ministries here at Union Congregational Church. We look at things that we do and we find ways to revitalize them. That counts as one. We imagine some things. And in total, between now and November 11th, we have gotten in the process, the planning, the imagining, something for 11 new ministries. Or a real easy one, starting today, you smile at 11 people a day and keep count. Right? You've already done it today because you smiled at a whole bunch, but every day starts new. And it's easy on Sundays at church because there's more than 11 people here. But 11 people. Smile at 11 people. It doesn't have to be 11 different people every day, but I'm sure you can smile at 11 people. Those are just some ideas that I've been thinking about. And believe me, I've had these down times where I'm like, I don't know what to do. This is, I don't know where we're going to go. I don't have any ideas. And so I said, all right, I'm going to think of some ideas, because Union Congregational Church doesn't just close. Union Congregational Church is a church that should, ought to, and can, and does thrive. And we have to imagine what's possible. No matter what our situation, we have to imagine what the possibilities are. $1,111 to two different ministries, Sharing Pantry and Food Resource, 111 letters to Congress, 111 visitors to church, 11 new members, 11 people average attendance up per Sunday, 11% increase in giving, 11 new or revitalized ministries. Smile at 11 people a day. Can you think of other 11 things? No, not you can't really? You're going to think of them throughout the week. And you're going to think of 11 things. And through all of this, or wait, I didn't give you enough time. Does anyone have an 11 thing that I should just add to the list? Do 11 nice things a week. It can be for your family or for outside of your family, right? It's probably hardest for some of us inside our family when, you know, if they push our buttons, right? 11 nice things a week. Stuff that you might not normally do. Yes, Cheryl. 11 pieces of trash. Picked up, thrown away. You unload the dishwasher and take out garbage. That's nice. You probably do it 11 times a week at least, right?
What else do I take pop cans out to the garbage
can? Pop cans out to the garbage can. Pop cans out to the road for recycling. All that stuff helps. 11 pieces of trash that you wouldn't normally pick up when you're walking. Yes, Ginny. Could give to one of those causes. So 11 pennies a day, or 111 pennies in a week, or 1111 pennies, whenever it is, counting those out, all the ones are going to add up. Maybe a penny could be one of the symbols of this mission one. It's just one thing, but so many ones add up. Any others? Yeah, go ahead, Lori. 11 compliments. Why, those flowers look really nice. Like that? Yeah. So many 11 things. I'm sure that you can think of some. What I'm going to do with this, I think, yeah, I'm going to, you know how we have posters around the church? I'll make posters that have the mission one on there and 11 things, things that we can do that will remind us every time we're here, and maybe we'll make some smaller ones that you can take home and put on the fridge. You do have magnets for the fridge, right? At least 11 things on your fridge. Yeah? Okay. Could do that. So, and with this mission one, through all of it, let's focus all of these things, these nice things, picking up pieces of trash, the pennies that we can give to a cause, compliments, all the money that goes here, 11 new members, all of it can focus on Christ's words where he says that they may all be one. One in Christ. We can do this. We can imagine it. We can live into it. I don't think it's going to be that hard because we can do it together. So let's imagine what's possible. Let's even imagine what seems impossible, stuff that you didn't think of today that you thought there's no way we could ever do that. And then let's do that. God showed Jacob something amazing. Jacob said in fear, "How awesome is this place?" And God has and will continue to show us amazing things. We can respond with fear. We can let our anger and our attitudes get in the way. But let's respond differently. Let's respond with invitations. Let's respond with motivation. Let's respond with holy imagination. Because we are in an awesome place. Amen.